Great pleasure for me to again be at the lotus feet of Srisi Gornitai, Srisi Rukmini Dwarkadis, Srisi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani, and all the residents of New Dwarka. This is a great pleasure for me. These were the little deities, because in the old days, when I joined, only we had the small deities. So these are the first Radha Krishna deities I ever worshipped. So it's always a very special pleasure for me to come here. And then back in 1969, this was the training center. So I was sent here. I joined in Boulder, Colorado. And then I was sent here to LA to get trained up. So this is my training center, and these are the first Gornitai and or the little deities were here at that time, Radha Krishna. They were the first Radha Krishna deities. So this is a great pleasure, especially to be here with all the residents of New Dwarka. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu's Going Back to Home, Text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Oh, I see, there's no... All right. Vilokyanugatam sadavim prittum virabaram patim tustuvur varada devair deva patnya sahasrasa. After observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife Archie, the wife of the great king Prithu, many thousands of wives of the demigods, along with their husbands, offered prayers to the queen, for they were very much satisfied. Kurvatya kusumasaram tasmin mandarasanuni nadatsvamara turyeshu grananti sma parasparam. At that time, the demigods were situated on the top of Mandara Hill, and all their wives began to shower flowers on the funeral pyre and began to talk amongst themselves as follows. So this is on the board, huh? Devya uchu aho iyam badur danya ya chaivam bu bujam patim sarvatmana patim beje yagyesham shir vadur iva devya uchu iho yam vadur danya yachaivam bubujam patim sarvatmana patim beje yagyesham shirvaduriva devya uchu ahoyam badur branya yachaivam bubujam patim sarvatmana patim beje Yagesham Sirvaduriva. Ladies? Devya Uchu, the wise of the demigod said, Aho, alas, Iyam, this, Vadu, the wife, Danya, most glorious, Ya, who, Cha, also, Evam, as, Bu, of the world, Bujam, of all the kings, Patim, the king, Sarva Atmana, with full understanding, Patim, unto the husband, Beje, worshipped, Yagya Isham, unto Lord Vishnu, Sri, the goddess of fortune, Vadu, wife, Eva, like. Translation. The wise of the demigods said, all glories to Queen Archie. We can see that this queen of the great king Prithu, the emperor of all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech, and body, exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Yagesh, or Vishnu. Translation, please repeat. The wise of the demigods said, all glories to Queen Archie. We can see that this queen of the great king Prithu, the emperor of all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech, and body, exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Yagesh or Vishnu. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Yagesham Srirbaduriva indicate that Queen Archie served her husband just as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu. We can observe that even in the history of this world, when Lord Krishna, the Supreme Vishnu, was ruling over Dwarka, Queen Rukmini, who was the chief of all Krishna's queens, used to serve Lord Krishna personally, in spite of having many hundreds of maidservants to assist her. Similarly, the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets also serves Narayan personally, although there are many thousands of devotees prepared to serve the Lord. This practice is also followed by the wives of the demigods. And in days past, the wives of men also followed the same principle. In Vedic civilization, husband and wife were not separated by such man-made laws as divorce. We should understand the necessity for maintaining family life in the human society and should thus abolish this artificial law known as divorce. The husband and wife should live in Krishna consciousness and follow in the footsteps of Lakshmi Narayan or Krishna Rukmini. In this way, peace and harmony can be possible within this world. Devya uchu aho yam badur danya yachayvam bhu bhujam patim sarvatmana patim beje yagyesham sir baduriva. The wise of the demigods said, "All glories to Queen Archie. We can see that this queen of the great king Prithu, the emperor of all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech, and body, exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yagyesh, or Vishnu." Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananangyana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Saparandigam Adadanas Trinandan Daivridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here we see, in this purport, Prabhupada is giving one of the keys to, what do you say, peace and harmony in this world. Because the wives of the demigods, they're worshipping and showering flowers on the queen of King Prithu, that she was so chaste. And she was serving her husband exactly. This is just like the goddess of fortune was serving Lord Narayan. Or an example, Prabhupada gives an example very dear to us, just as Rukmini is serving Krishna. We are very fortunate to be here at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of Rukmini Dwarkadish. So this example is very dear to all of us. He says, Queen Rukmini, she had so many maidservants who could have easily assisted her in serving her husband, but she personally served him. Just like in the spiritual sky, Prabhupada said that there are so many desire trees. The devotees, they can immediately go to the desire tree and get anything they want for the service of Lord Krishna. They don't have to go to the kitchen and cook and make a preparation. They go to the desire tree and get. Still, they cook and prepare that preparation from the scratch just to serve Krishna. So this is the whole basis of Krishna consciousness is service. We all have to serve in some way or another. The problem comes when we think that we're the master. Actually, we're all servants. Although we think ourselves master, master means that we've become completely controlled by our senses. As soon as we think that I'm the master, it means I've become completely controlled by my senses. Because I'm just following the dictations of my senses. But actually our position is as servant. And this is our greatest asset that we have in Krishna consciousness to be able to serve Vaishnavas. So here discussing the relationship of husband and wife. The wife here, Prabhupada explains, is meant to serve the husband. This, of course, does not mean that the husband has the right to exploit the wife. This has been, unfortunately, very badly misinterpreted, not only within our own society, but in the society in general. Because we see the husband was like, we see in here the example of Rukmini and Dwarkadish. Dwarkadish, he was maintaining 16,108 palaces for all of his 16,108 wives. Because they were being maintained very nicely and very sweetly, very lovingly by him, then automatically they felt the desire to serve. And actually we see, this is, even in our ordinary dealings, we see that when the wife is serving the husband very nicely, automatically she gets her own way anyway. Because husband, this is a natural psychology. We cannot change it artificially. And anyway, our position is servant. And if our husband is a great Vaishnava and we serve him, they will get a lot of credit. And automatically his heart becomes conquered by that service. Then he's very encouraged to support his wife in so many ways. It's not a question of superior or inferior. It's just a question of the proper type of psychology. Sometimes we misinterpret this inferior, superior. Both are complementary. Man and wife are complementary. The man has certain qualities, the woman has certain qualities, and they complement each other. And the man is very satisfied when his wife is serving him very nicely. And we have seen that when they serve, the man's heart is conquered, and automatically the woman, she gets her way. If she tries to just directly get her way, then some conflict will come. Because the natural psychology is like that. We cannot change the way these bodies or minds are made. This is the nature. But it is also the duty of the man to support his wife in every way, and to maintain her in every way, and to treat her very kindly and lovingly. Then automatically the whole situation becomes very peaceful, Prabhupada says. So now we've introduced this divorce law. Actually, even the people who were against the divorce law, they could not have possibly imagined that we would have the situation we have today. What to speak of those people who were for it, they also couldn't even begin to imagine that we would have the situation today where more than 50% of our marriages are ending in divorce. They couldn't have possibly imagined that just by making this law, they thought sometimes there's some situation where it's necessary. But as soon as you give one little inch to solving the problem in an artificial way, the real way to solve the problem is not by granting divorce. The real position is to give the proper training. Unfortunately, this Western world, we're all trained, just enjoy now. This is the whole training. Nobody thinks of some higher good or some higher benefit. Everything is enjoy now. And as soon as there's some trouble to that enjoyment, all right, let there be divorce. They're not trained that this material world is a place of misery. Husband and wife joining together is to help each other in Krishna consciousness, because it's going to be a long, hard struggle. This material world is not a very happy place. All the advertising is telling us that it is a very happy place, that you should enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But this we call it vivaha jagya. This is a jagya. This married life is a jagya. Jagya, we know, means sacrifice. This is a training that we don't get, sacrifice. We're only given this training. Enjoy. Nobody's giving sacrifice, sacrifice. And this is where the whole problem begins, because everybody's in this, instead of in a serving mood, everybody's in this enjoying mood, that I should exploit my wife. Nobody's in this mood that I should, because that is also service. The man supporting the wife, that is, he's also serving. Everyone is servant in this world. So, but when we get an exploiting consciousness, and that's all our training, everything is, the whole advertising. I was just in San Diego visiting my aunt, and she was complaining, you know, that the children, they don't listen anymore to the parents. They don't even want to serve. You know, we had a whole big gathering, all my cousins, brothers, everybody came. You know, and she has to, she's 80 years old, you know, and she has to push them, please, you know, set the table, can you do this, can you do that? You know, well, automatically one should think, this is my, you know, because it was her mother, I was just a guest there, but this is their mother, they should help her. But we've been trained, nobody's in this mood of service, everybody's in this mood of enjoy. So this whole enjoying mood has entered in. No, there's no training that actually life is meant for yajna, sacrifice. We have to sacrifice some of our enjoyment for a higher purpose. And unless we're able to sacrifice some enjoyment, especially in married life, means the two people have to learn how to cooperate. So that means there will be sacrifice. But we're not trained that we should sacrifice. We're not trained that we should. We should train that enjoy, get whatever you can and enjoy. We're not trained that life, actually this human life is meant for sacrifice, yajna. And we see here all these examples, Lakshmi Narayan and our very dear Rukmini Dwarkadish. We see this wonderful serving spirit between them. Krishna was so pleased. He established 16,108 palaces with full facility for all his wives. So much, Rukmini was so grateful that she was taking up personally the fan. She has millions of servants, but she was personally fanning Lord Dwarkadish. We can imagine how satisfied Lord Dwarkadish must be to see his wife is just like an ordinary servant serving him like that. Therefore, automatically he feels he must serve her. This is the whole training that we don't get. This is the most important thing. Just like I've been living in India for 23 years, I've seen when marriage is there, the whole philosophy is that the basic block of the society, the building block of society, is the family. Therefore, their philosophy is that the society should have some say in who gets married to who, because the whole society is built on the family unit. The family is the basic building block of the society. Having been there, I see that everybody gets into the act. The not only the mother and the father, but their brothers and sisters and grandfather, their mothers and fathers, everybody wants to know who's the boy, who's the girl. Everybody gets into the discussion. Because actually, the family is the basic building block of society. Therefore, society, our concept is enjoy. It's me and the other person and nobody else's business. And because we enter into the relation like that, and when we're young, only thing that is going on is this little ping, 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 ping in the heart, and how long that ping, ping, ping will go. Whereas our uncles, our mothers, our fathers, our uncles, aunts, they've all been through the mill. They know how difficult it is. They know what a struggle is. It's not enjoyment. It is actually a struggle. It is a sacrifice. Of course, there is pleasure there. There's pleasure, but only if the couple are combined properly. Therefore, everybody gets in. I've seen, you know, everybody, when they want to go, the whole family goes to see the girl, then they go to see the boy, and everybody discusses. It's a whole big discussion because the society, the whole philosophy of Vedic culture is that the building block of society is the family. Therefore, the society has a right to know who's joining with who. We think it's just a contract between me and her and nobody else's business. We can't even, especially Americans, they couldn't even imagine something, arranged marriage. But we see that still in the villages this is going on, and we don't find this divorce. And we see sometimes now in the big cities, due to this Western influence and now this whole consumerism and enjoyment consciousness has come, therefore nobody wants to serve. Therefore immediately this, again, now even in the Indian culture, this divorce is coming. It's very sad to see. But if everyone sees himself as a servant of the Lord and sees his position as servant, and we try to serve everyone, then automatically there's peace and harmony. Such that we see that these demigods, the wives of the demigods, even the demigods, first verse was the demigods were showering flowers, now the wives of the demigods are showering flowers. And now for several verses we'll hear how the glorification of Archie. Sometimes people say these scriptures, they're against women. But actually you'll see in this most holy Srimad Bhagavatam, the first prayer is not by Lord Brahma. It is not by Bhishma, who was also present at that time. Not by Krishna, not by anyone. The first chapter of prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam is the prayers of Queen Kunti. Prabhupada has written a whole book. So many people were present at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhishma Dev is there. He could have said the first prayer. So many things are there. But the first prayer is the prayers of Queen Kunti. Throughout Bhagavatam, women are praised in so many ways. Women are actually very, very on elevated position. It's supposed to be elevated position in Vedic culture. Unfortunately, many people have misinterpreted that because it says sometimes less intelligent word is used or subservient. But subservient, we should see this is a great thing. To become servant is actually a great thing. That is our whole problem. Everybody wants to be the master. But here, because she was actually subservient, therefore the demigods are showering flowers, their wives are showering flowers, and now we're going to hear so many prayers in honor of Queen Archie. This holy Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying this great woman, Queen Archie. And actually in the Puranas, there's even story how a chaste woman is even greater. We're always here. We hear so many times all about sannyas, sannyas. How great sannyas is to become renounced and become renounced. To become very powerful and this and that. But in Puranas we find story how the wife became a chaste wife is even more powerful than a sannyasi. There's one time there was one very fallen Brahmin. And he had a very chaste wife who was serving him very nicely. But he had somehow fallen from his brahminical position and he was always watching this one prostitute. Her name was Hira Laksha. Hira means diamond. Laksha means lakh. You had to buy her a lakh of diamond. A lakh worth of diamonds in order to go with her. So how this poor Brahmin is going to get, where is he going to get lakh of rupees to buy diamonds? But that chaste wife, she was seeing somehow her husband, his face is unhappy. Prabhupada's face is index of mind. Something is disturbing him. Finally, after some time, she managed to get it out of him. What was his problem? That he wants to go with this prostitute. So, she was such a chaste wife. We can't imagine such a thing. But anyway, somehow, she would go to the house of that prostitute late in the night. Actually, early in the morning. While everybody is just completely in drunken stupor, and she will clean the whole place. So every day here, Laksha is seeing this whole place is clean. What is this? I mean, one time she saw, then a couple of times, then she'd be, every day this is going on. And somehow, while they're all sound asleep, this lady comes and cleans the whole house. So one day, she decided to be the designated driver, and she didn't drink. She pretended to be asleep, and then she saw this lady come in the house and begin cleaning. And she grabbed her. Said, "What are you doing?" And she explained the situation. She said, "All right, you send your husband to me, no problem." So she told her husband that this Hira Laksha, she's ready to receive you. So the Brahmin, he went there very happy, a little bit nervous. He came to the house of Hira Laksha. He entered the house. She greeted him very sweetly. She sat him on a nice cushion and spoke sweet words to him. Then she invited him to the dining room. And there was a nice table with a very opulent cushion and very opulent plate with meat and liquor and so many things like this. And then there was another straw mat and a nice silver plate and so many silver plate with so many preparations. But some were in gold and some were in silver cups. So he came in, he looked at both places, being a Brahmin, he was naturally attracted to the vegetarian foodstuff. So he sat there. Then he looked, he saw the same preparations are in, one is in gold cup, one is in silver cup. In clay cup. And he began to eat. And so she asked him, "Do you see any difference between the one in the clay and the one in the gold?" He said, "No, the same taste is there." He said, "You see, you're a Brahmin. Why did you choose this plate? Because you're a Brahmin. You didn't want this nasty meat and other types of things. You chose this plate. Now in this plate you see there's two different things, but you're getting same taste. So you're a Brahmin. Why should you want the same taste you're going to get at home? Why should you come to a nasty prostitute like me to get that same taste?" Then he just hit his head. "Oh, what have I done?" He jumped up. He ran out the door. His wife was waiting there. He was feeling very embarrassed and very... his mind was just spinning. His wife, took him by the arm because he was just sort of feeling very embarrassed. "What have I done? What a fool I am." And he was walking like that. So because his mind was disturbed, he wasn't watching. When sannyasi was walking by, he stepped on his foot. Now, somehow or other, this is a proof that the material world is not meant for pleasure. Because nobody goes around thinking, "Oh, I'm really getting off on my foot today, I'm just getting so, I'm getting so much pleasure from my foot." But somehow or other, you stub your toe. Oh, all these words you didn't use since you were a little kid come out of your mouth. Every cubic inch of this body can give pain. Only a few places that give pleasure. So this sannyasi, his toe was stepped on. He became very angry. He said, "You're walking like a dead man. You don't even look where you're going. You're just walking like a dead man. You should die before the sun rises tomorrow." He just cursed him, because your foot is like that. You hurt your foot. You're supposed to be a big sannyasi and renounced and all this, but you just cursed like that. You're walking like a dead man, not seeing where you're going. You should die before the sun rises. So that lady, she was very upset. So she took a vow, the sun will not rise tomorrow morning. And because of the power of her chastity, the sun actually didn't rise. Everyone became very upset. Especially the demigods. The sun doesn't rise. The human beings won't perform yajna. We won't get sacrificed. Everyone became very upset. Why the sun is not rising? So then they finally ran to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, he began to laugh. Then he came here before that chaste woman. He told that... he asked, "What is the thing?" And she explained that the sannyasi has cursed my husband, that he will die before the sun rises. So I have vowed that the sun will not rise. So Lord Vishnu said, "Don't worry. As soon as he will die, I will bring him back to life. You please let the sun rise." So the curse, her vow was more powerful than the sannyasi due to her chastity, her great chastity. So therefore, she retracted her vow. The sun rose, her husband died, and Lord Vishnu immediately brought him back to life. So this chaste woman, she was more powerful than a great sannyasi. So like that, actually there's many, many verses and many stories praising women throughout the Vedic scriptures. And we should learn to honor and protect them in a proper way. And in return, automatically, when they feel protected and are dealt with in a proper manner, then automatically they'll want to serve. And then this... Prabhupada said this divorce will be finished. This is artificial law. But first we have to have this training from the beginning of our life that life is meant for sacrifice and is meant to become servant. And everyone is serving in some way or another. And if we all accept this position of servant, then we can live peacefully, as Prabhupada says, peacefully in Krishna consciousness. We should live peacefully following in the footsteps of Lakshmi Narayan and Krishna and Rukmini. We should live peacefully in Krishna consciousness. And then there possibly can be peace and harmony in the world. Because we know, I think most of us probably came from a broken family. We know what an effect it has on the children, to how we can have a peaceful society. But nobody's thinking, everybody's thinking only for their enjoyment, that I'm having some trouble. They don't feel that there's some higher benefit. Despite all troubles, we should, because troubles means just like thunder in the morning, but no, some thunder and lightning is there, but no rain. Always trouble will be there. We have to tolerate this trouble and go on for a higher good. Because in such broken homes, we see the children, of course, nowadays, we see, just like my aunt was saying, they have no respect, they don't care. Because the parents actually weren't caring for them. Probably it was just that they forgot to take their pill that day, and so somehow or other they came just by accident. So they're unwanted. This is probably the unwanted children. The children, they also don't feel wanted. So why should they respect? But our society is meant for a society of servants. That the husband and wife should serve each other. They should serve the children. The children should serve the mother and father. This is our whole culture. Our Vedic culture is based on service. As soon as we lose that service attitude, as soon as that enjoying mood comes, then the whole society will become hellish, as we see all around us. As even my aunt was complaining, for 1 hour she was just crying on my shoulder, telling me all these things. So it's become because this Western culture, and then we see the influence. I've lived in India. I see the influence. The more they become Westernized, the more all these problems are coming. So it's our duty somehow or other to learn how to become servants and how to live peacefully in Krishna consciousness and fulfill Prabhupada's prediction that if we live peacefully like this as servants, then there will be harmony in the world. Hare Krishna. Somebody brought the glass and the water.
Thank you. Prabhu, in ancient times, it was said that if the husband left his body and if the wife, who was very chaste and pure, shortly thereafter left her body, that it was very auspicious for this to happen and that she desired to leave her body soon after her husband did. Why was this considered auspicious?
That the wife leave her body before the husband?
No, to leave shortly thereafter her husband had left his body. That she desired to...
I never heard that. I've always heard that it's very auspicious if the wife leaves first, because then she's left without protection. If her husband leaves first, then she's left without protection. And plus also for the man, if she's already left and he's not, because at the time of death and she's still alive, then he's very worried. He's just thinking about her. Who's going to take her? What's going to happen to her? What's going to happen to my wife? So I've always heard the opposite, that it's auspicious if the wife leaves before the husband, so that at the time of death he can remember the Lord and maybe be transferred to the spiritual sky. And although people are saying Vedic scriptures are discriminating against women, actually, the woman, without doing anything, she gets 50% of the spiritual benefits of her husband. She doesn't have to do anything. She gets 50%. He has to do all the work. He has to make the money. He has to do the yajna, sacrifice, or give the donation to the temple. And she automatically gets 50% without doing anything. So it's actually discriminating against men. And I see on Govardhan, many times I see people, young couples, they just got married, so they do Govardhan Prikama, Dandoti. So the husband is paying full dandavats, the wife's coming behind and taking her 50%. You know, she said, bow down, touch his feet, take 50%. And they go around like this.
Thank you.
Very intelligent.
So you can challenge your husbands next time you go to Vrindavan to do Dandoti Prakam of Govardhan. You can go around and take your 50%. So this is the greatest asset of our Vaishnava life, is this service. This is the real mood of Vaishnava as servant. And when we develop this mood, then most of our problems can be solved. What to speak of between man and wife, between each other, between everyone. So we should try to cultivate this This whole idea of becoming servant, everybody thinks servant, that means, you know, low-class thing. But even the goddess of fortune, she is very happy. She has millions of servants. She's very happy to fan or massage the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So we should be very happy to be servants. And if our wife is a great Vaishnavi, if we serve her, we will also get benefit. If we are a great Vaishnava, our wife serves us, she will get benefit. We'll all get benefit. We'll all go back home, back to Godhead, and dance and sing with Krishna in the spiritual world. So if there's no other questions, we can all bow down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's trying to instill this culture of service into our very decrepit hearts. Srila Prabhupada ki. And please don't leave. We have prasad. I almost forgot. We have prasadam from.
Prasadam from Vrindavan Mora, especially prasadam.